Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'd invite you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll read through this lesson through the course of the message. As you're turning there, I just want to celebrate the fact that we are studying the concept of spiritual gifts. I love this whole area of what God has revealed about each one of us. A study of spiritual gifts has helped me overcome fear. It's helped me battle despair. It's beat down arrogance. And ultimately, it's helped me recognize that I have something to offer God's church. And it's my prayer that this study today and over the next couple of weeks will give you that blessing as well. The study of spiritual gifts is so helpful because it gives us a completely different view of the church. Now, that view of the church can be kind of confusing because it's not the normal view of the church. It's a view of the church from up above, from God's perspective. And when we study the church from God's perspective, we first of all can be certain that we belong in the church. You see, when you walk into a congregation, it's very easy to feel that maybe you don't belong here. Because when you walk in the door, you see everybody else in their Sunday best. You don't see the failures of the past week, the angry words that were spoken in their home. You don't see the thoughts that have gone through their minds. You haven't seen the things that they have done in secret, but you know your own words. You know your own thoughts. You know those shameful things that you have done that keep coming back to your mind, that Satan throws into your face. And it's very easy to walk into God's church and say, maybe I don't belong here. I look at other people and they seem to be up here and I'm down here. And so that's what Paul deals with first. Let's take a look at that first paragraph, verses 12 to 14. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we are all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made of one part, but of many. God's viewpoint of the church is that we form one body, and we are all equally part of that one body. Not because of what you have done, or who you are, or how you are gifted. It's based on God's promises, and he takes us right back to our baptisms. You see, this is what we have in common. Back in Paul's day, there was slave and free, there was Greek and Gentile. Today, there's the lifelong member, founding families, and people who are brand new to the faith. There are people who are ashamed of the clothes that they wear, that they wish they could afford something nicer to wear to church, and there are some here who are incredibly wealthy. But what we all have in common is that we all have been baptized. And in that baptism, you and I have this incredible promise that all of our sins have been washed away. That the God who knows all of the secrets of our hearts understood that and gave you a promise at your baptism that he wants you to go back to over and over again. That promise that you are holy and perfect in his sight. That there's nothing you have to do to get his love. You belong here. And then the Apostle Paul also mentions that we are all given the one Spirit to drink. Now, this might be a reference to baptism. It might also be a reference to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10, where he talks about the spiritual rock that accompanied the Israelites and how they drank from that spiritual rock. You and I have this in common, that we drink from this same spiritual rock, that from the cross flows God's incredible grace, and every day we can drink deeply of the water of life that flows from the cross. This is what you and I have in common. This is what reassures us you and I belong here. We are a part of the body, of Christ's body, and that's what the church is. But even if we're a part of the body, if we belong here, it's very easy when we walk in to begin to compare ourselves with others and to get discouraged because we see that other people have greater gifts than we do. You know, I saw that missionary Holtz is here today. Wow. Now he's an integral part of the body, but I'm not, right? Or I'm a pastor. You are an integral part of the body, but a lay person isn't. Or maybe you are a member of the ministry board, or you're an elected leader, or you're a leader in some organization in the congregation, and it's easy for other people to say, oh, they are gifted, but I'm not. And so the Apostle Paul takes that issue up in the next paragraph, verses 15 to 21, or to 20. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. You know, we think about that with our physical bodies. We're glad that our bodies have different abilities, right? I'm glad that I have a hand. I'm glad I have a foot. I'm glad I have an eye. I'm glad I have an ear. Each one of them is different. That doesn't mean one is greater or lesser. It just means they're different, and I'm thankful for every one of them. And what's true of our physical bodies is true of God's church as well. I am so thankful that you are gifted differently than me. You know, I can't fix anything. I don't understand technology. I don't know how electricity works. I'm a lousy gardener. You know, so if the whole body were a Pete Panitsky, my clicker wouldn't work. The lights wouldn't be on. Everything would be broken around us and would be starving. You see, I'm so glad that God has given all of us different gifts, just as God has wanted us to have them. Each of us is a different part of the body with different gifts. There's no reason for despair. Satan wants us to walk into God's church and compare our gifts, our abilities with other people and feel like we are inferior. But there's no reason for despair. God has arranged the parts of this body just as he knows is best, and praise God for that. But you know, if the devil can't push us one way, if he can't push us into despair because we envy somebody else's gift, then what the devil does is he pushes the other way, and he tempts us to arrogance, that we walk into the body of Christ and we think of ourselves as more important than somebody else. And so that's what the Apostle Paul takes up in the next paragraph, to protect us from Satan's attacks to arrogance. He says, "The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I don't need you,' and the head cannot say to the feet, 'I don't need you.' On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable we treat with special honor, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it." You know, it's interesting about our bodies. There are some parts of our bodies that we kind of feel ashamed about. You know, we don't really want anybody else to see. That's why we always cover it. They're the unpresentable parts of our body. And the Apostle Paul brings out the whole idea that, you know, those unpresentable parts of our body, we actually give them greater honor, right? You know, we don't cover up our hands, we don't cover up our faces, but other parts of our body, we cover them up. We give them greater honor by covering them. And in the body of Christ, the parts of the body that other people, those outside of the body, might think are unpresentable, we give special honor. And as I think about that, I think of a single woman in our congregation who passed away probably a decade ago. Her name is Kathy Bennett. Kathy had some disabilities. But when she greeted you in the lobby, it was great. And she was a stable person in the nursery. At that time, we never had to worry about staffing the nursery. She was always there, and she loved it. We needed Kathy. And even though the world would say, "Oh, she's got a disability," the body treats her with special honor. Here we are, a decade later, honoring her memory. At the same time, those parts of the body that we think are especially important need to recognize that they really aren't that important. And here's where I would like to quote somebody. It's not a quotation from the Bible, but it is a quotation from somebody who was really smart. It's my dad's quotation. "The cemetery is filled with people the world couldn't live without." When the devil tempts me to think too highly of myself, I just have to walk through the cemetery. And I remember that God did amazing things in his church long before I was born, without me. And if the world continues after I'm in the grave, God will continue to do amazing things through his people without me. Who am I to be arrogant? I'm just thankful for the gifts that God has given me to serve this generation. Then the Apostle Paul goes on and he talks about some of these spiritual gifts. Now in this last paragraph, he lists some spiritual gifts that are miraculous spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts like speaking in tongues or languages you've never learned, or being able to heal people. Now, right at the end of Mark's gospel, Mark explains that the Lord worked with the apostles, confirming the word by the signs, the miracles that accompanied them. The apostles we're given this incredible ability to perform these miracles to confirm the word that they were teaching. It comes as no surprise that as we follow the history of the church beyond the first generation or two after Christ, that these miraculous signs disappear because the word was confirmed. And yet our God still gives gifts to his church. Now this list is not exhaustive. It just gives us a little sample. He says, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? No, eagerly desire the greater gifts. This isn't an exhaustive list. It's just meant to give us some ideas of the different gifts that God gives to the church. And it's important for us to appreciate the gifts that God gives us. You know, we give thanks to God when we sit down at the table, right? Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. We thank him for the food, right? Let's spend some time right now thinking about how God has gifted each one of us. Thank him for that gift that he has given to you personally. And then at the end of this, the message, you can just fold this sheet in half and place it into the offering and offer your gifts that God has given you in service to his church. We'll take a volunteer. We'll have a volunteer, you know, take the information that you've put on this list. You see, this list is also not exhaustive. It just happens to be the list of spiritual gifts that's in our database. So we'll kind of go through this, and I'll just ask you, is this you or not? Yes, maybe, or not at all. So please take out that sheet that you ripped off, and let's just take a look. The first gift that's listed is administration. When I think of the gift of administration, I think of Pastor Keel, who loves to make sure that we're all in the right place at the right time. I think of Pastor Bonach, who loves to recruit people and plug them into different ministries as well. Is that you? Do you like to make sure that the details are filled in? Maybe God's given you the gift of administration. The next is knowledge or teaching. Now, this can be, you know, teaching your child at home. If you just like to share the message of Christ with a child or an adult, has God given you that gift? I appreciate this gift so much. You know, when something breaks, I just give up. But some of you, when something breaks, it's like a puzzle, isn't it? You're going to figure out why is it broke. Thank God that you have that gift of manual arts. Is that you? I bumped into Jenny over at the Trinity Cafe on Friday afternoon. She was decorating the church, or decorating the school for the fall, Unity Fall Festival for the kids. You know, Jenny is involved in a lot of different things. She's very talented, but she just mentioned, you know, that she likes to do this decorating because it refreshes her. Do you find that it just refreshes you when you make some kind of crafts or decorate your home or decorate the church or decorate the school? Then maybe God's given you this spiritual gift. Writing can take many different forms. My classmate, my roommate, would get up in the middle of the night and he'd be writing short stories. He had the gift of writing. I couldn't write a short story for the life of me, and yet I also enjoy writing. That gift can take different forms. Is that you? Do you enjoy putting your thoughts down on paper? Wisdom is one of those gifts that if you are at work or at school, people just naturally come and seek advice from you. Somehow they just know that you have some good answers. Is that you? Now, evangelism, I think an awful lot of people go, I'm not going to mark evangelism because evangelism is knocking on doors, and I don't want to do that. But as I think about the gift of evangelism, I think about a member of our congregation who has volunteered to be a coach in one of the community sporting events for youth because he wants to be a Christian leader out there in the world. You see, he wants to come into contact with people who don't know Jesus. I think maybe it's because God's given him the gift of evangelism. Again, is that you? Exhortation could be very similar to mercy or to wisdom, that God has given you the ability to apply his word to others. But when I think of exhortation, I especially think of one of your brothers in Christ who every time I preach at the Bridge comes up to me, puts his arm on my shoulder, and has a quick prayer for me and the message before I get up on the stage. He knows the words that can encourage me and brings them to God in prayer for me. Is that you? Faith or vision? You know, I realized as I was thinking about this that when I was a kid, probably 7 or 8 years old, I would set out my farm on the living room floor, and I would dream about the farm that I would have when I was grown up. Nobody taught me to dream about the future. It just was there from way back. Do you think more about the future than you do about the past? Now, all of us have the opportunity and the responsibility to give, but some of you are incredible. You know, it's not that you have lots of money to give, but there is something within you that just says, I will give the shirt off my back. You can't say no. Hospitality is one of those things that, you know, a person with the gift of hospitality, you can make somebody feel at home no matter where they are. Is that you? When you are at work or at school and you're forming a group, do people just kind of naturally look to you as leader of that group? Maybe it's because you have this gift of leadership. For this gift, I think of two women who are helping a member of our congregation, Cheryl Schrader. They're Cheryl's neighbors. They give incredible amounts of time. They help Cheryl in ways that I could never help her. I believe that God has given them the gift of mercy. And these gifts, I think it's one of those things, either you know you got it or you don't. And when I think about serving in general, I have a number of you in mind that I know that we could ask you to do just about anything except sit in a meeting and organize and lead some function. You just want to be in the background and just tell me what to do and I'm going to do it. Now, this last one is shepherding. Maybe that's you. If you see somebody at Piggly Wiggly or Pick and Save and you go, man, I haven't seen them in church for a long time, and it just naturally comes out, hey, how's it going? You know, I haven't seen you, and you invite them to come back. Maybe it's because God has given you that special shepherding gift. Now, this list is not exhaustive, but what I'd ask you to do is I'd ask you to take a look at that list and write down what you think are the three highest spiritual gifts. For some of you, it will be, oh, these are the three that I said, this is me. For some of you who are a little bit less enthusiastic about yourself, maybe you'll be writing down some of the, well, I don't know, maybe it's me. Write down what you think are your three highest spiritual gifts. And it doesn't have to be from this list, because again, this list isn't exhaustive. So maybe you enjoy woodworking. Wouldn't you say that Wayne, who carved this cross, had the spiritual gift of woodworking? Or maybe you love working on cars, or gardening, or maybe you're an accountant, or a plumber, or a painter, or a candlestick maker, whatever. What has God made you good at? Write it down. Put your name on it, some contact information, just in case we have the wrong contact information in our database. Fold it in half, and then offer it to God. This will help us know the gifts that God has placed into his body here at St. Paul's, and will help us to find ways that you enjoy serving the Savior. Now, to wrap up, let's just remember that we're looking at the church from God's perspective. And when we look at the church from God's perspective, there is no reason for fear. You and I belong here. We are perfectly forgiven. There's no reason for despair. You don't have to look at somebody else's gifts and be discouraged because they have different gifts than you. There's no reason for arrogance. God has given every one of us the gifts that he knows the church needs at this time. And our goal is simply, Lord, use us and the gifts that he has given to us, each one of us, to build up God's church. And with that, let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we do pray that you would help us to understand how you have made us, that you would lead us to give thanks to you for the different spiritual gifts that you have given to each one of us, to give thanks for the gifts that you've given to me personally and to each one of us, but then also as we look at our fellow Christians, that we would give thanks to you, Lord, would have a thankful heart as we see the gifts that each one of the people around us has. Lord, you have given those gifts to those individuals to bless each one of us, and we thank and praise you for that. And now, Lord, we offer our entire lives and our entire hearts and souls to you. All that we have, Lord, because of what Jesus has done for us, we offer to you. In his name, amen. Please stand. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.